introduce Carmel O'Shaughnessy, and the title of her talk is Code Switching Helps to Maintain Traditional Languages. Welcome.
Thank you, Daryl. Hello, everybody. I'm going to talk about how speakers of a new mixed language spoken in the north of Australia code switch between that system and the traditional language that they also speak, and argue that by doing this, it helps maintain their knowledge of the verb structure of the traditional language. And it's kind of a matter of coming full circle, because in the beginning, the new mixed language arose because of code switching, which then became very conventionalized. A little background is that the community I'm talking about, I forgot my pointer, is Lajimanu, which is the top diamond, red diamond. And the other red diamonds are other Walpuri communities as well. So that whole area from Lajimanu down, sort of encompassing all of those diamonds, is all of the Walpuri area. And the Walpuri were hunter-gatherers. But, of course, with colonisation, they were forced into settlements. And at first, the settlements were in that southern area. But in the late 1940s, people were forcibly relocated up to a place that didn't exist, but has since become Lajimanu. So they were actually just put on a truck and taken up there and put down and told, you live here now. And over time, they decided we'd better stay here and make a life for ourselves here, and they have. But what you can see there from the geography is that Lajimanu is a little bit distant from the other communities, so that distance is approximately 400 miles. There's a dirt road down there between the communities, but it's an area that has monsoon seasons, and so for 4 to 5 months of the year, you can't travel down that road. And nowadays, everybody has a cell phone, but back in the 70s and 80s, nobody had a phone at all. And so they were socially, you know, a little segregated from the rest of the Walpuri, and weren't subject to the same kind of norms of language reinforcement that the other communities were. In addition to that, the road to the north, to the nearest town, Catherine, is mostly a paved road. And so you can drive there at any time of year, and that has become the centre for admin, serious health issues. You know, there are lots of reasons why people need to go there. And the pink area that I have there, approximately, is a Creole-speaking area, where the indigenous speakers in those communities have shifted to Creole. And so when the Lajimanu Walpuri go up into that area and are interacting with other indigenous speakers, they're interacting with Creole speakers. Also, there were cattle stations established through that area that the Lajimanu people worked on. And so in those, you had speakers of a lot of different indigenous languages and English speakers all needing to communicate together. And so Creole English lexified varieties, mostly Creole, was the lingua franca. So the Walpuri who lived in Lajimanu had a lot of practical reasons to speak Creole in addition to Walpuri, and they code-switched between them. Now, Walpuri has a distinct baby talk register, and what happened was that in that baby talk register to very young children, the adults would code-switch in a particular pattern. So they'd have Walpuri, 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 and then an English or Creole pronoun and verb, and then Walpuri, Walpuri, Walpuri. And this pattern was spoken to the children very consistently, I think. And then the children processed that as a single system, and they added innovations, and then that has become what they speak today. So those children then, in the early 1980s, are the oldest speakers of Light Walpuri now, and they're in their mid to late 30s. They also received input in Walpuri, just Walpuri as well. So there's like code switching and Walpuri. And the code switching became systematised into Light Walpuri. And then there's also Walpuri, which they also speak. So they developed a system of bilingualism where there's the code switching, you know, new system, which is now a new system, and Walpuri. I mean, as they get older, they do also learn varieties of English and Creole, but they're their two main languages. So what does this new system look like, and how does it differ from Walpuri? So in the colour coding, all of the blue in italics is Walpuri, and the other colours in plain fault are light Walpuri. So you can see there verbs from originally from English, come, go, And transitive verbs have a Creole suffix "-m-" on them. But not all of the verbs are from English and Creole, although most of them are. You can see in example three, there's a verb with a Walpri verb stem that's been reanalyzed, but it has a Creole transitive suffix on it, the "-m-." The green is an auxiliary which is innovative, which I won't talk about today, except to say that this is how I identify a light Walpri construction, because of course the blue elements are in both Walpri and light Walpri, so it's only this pronoun and verb system that really substantially differs. And we should be able to hear what it sounds like. You should be able to hear those English derived verbs. And in contrast, the Walpi verb is very different in form. The way people interact is that there are a lot of multi-age interactions. So older speakers who mostly speak Walpri but also still code switch are giving input to younger speakers. The light Walpri speakers speak both ways. There are younger, like children in those groups as well. So there's sort of very mixed input in these interactions. And what I want to show you are two things. One is the code switching between Walpri and light Walpri, which I identified by the use of the different verb and pronoun complex, and also the use of restructured Walpri verb stems in light Walpri. And I'm sort of arguing that these go together to an extent. So the definition of the code switch is, instead of the light Walpri verb structure, the use of the Walpri verb structure, which includes the Walpri auxiliary. So for example, the Walpri is in blue there, so pandani kalipa is the Walpri verb, pandani is a verb, kalipa is the auxiliary. And then in light Walpri you get two types of verb structure. You can get completely derived from Creole, like bukum from poke, English poke, hitum from hit, and then you can get the Walpri derived verbs. So pandanin, pandani would be in Walpri, it's reanalyzed slightly and becomes pandanim with the Creole transitive suffix. The data I'm showing you today are from partly from elicitation sessions. So I was going through a list of verbs from Ken Hale and asking these Walpri speakers, oh, do you know this one? Do you say this one? And to give me examples, they just spontaneously went into creating little scenarios and showing when and how they would use these verbs. And the other data source is from speakers telling their own story from Picture Stimulate. So I'm just using both data sources just to sort of give more authenticity, I guess. You know, two types of data are yielding the same kind of result. So these data are just from a few speakers. So we're looking specifically at two types of verb, the Walpri verb and then the Walpri-derived verb, its second example, in light Walpri. So first we'll look at code switching data. So the Walpri is in blue and italics, and the verb and auxiliary is underlined, just so that you can see chunks from each, I guess. So you can hear just this very fluid switch, and when they use the Walpri verb, so in this instance the Walpri verb is underlined, it has all of the Walpri verb morphology that it would have in Walpri.
And Kisha Kausha Pira and Kisha Matumi. Man, Nathan, do you want a new ram Kausha? But Nina Wapal Guanka, I didn't know him go shop. Nina Wapal Guanka, the full on a low white of color, I didn't know you can go shop.
Another one.
Another one. Kisha Matumi.
Kisha Matumi.
Kisha Matumi. Man, pardon el pala, numareke. We wait for the numareke.
Ordinary pala numareke. And she's using like realistic intonation and so on as well. And then similarly, code switching, this is from telling a story from picture stimuli. What are the motivations for this code switching? It seems to be discourse structures, which is noted long ago by Gumperz and has since been noted in a lot of code switching data. So for example, in the wheel wait for numeri example, she's using repetition to emphasize, and the Walpi word wadja is for emphasize, you know, we'll wait. And in the one that I just played, the speaker changed from an accusation to a threat. So I think discourse purposes are playing a role. Also, I think some of these things are just how you say it, as Shana Poplack said ages ago, like some of those expressions. Well, the first one, mala janganu, is like so-and-so, like the dog ate it on her. And this, you know, you just say it this way. So I think these are just sort of conventionalized constructions that people just like to switch to and say them that way. And the next one, kijikaj, for example, when people are playing cards, which they do often, they might be speaking in light Walpri, and then they'll say kijikaj in Walpri. So there's just some things that you just say in Walpri. I can't pin it down much more than that at this point. And for the speakers, they say that switching like this, for them, they just, in a way, like they clearly see differences between light Walpri and Walpri. And they say that they have two ways of talking. But at the same time, putting these two ways of talking together is just how we talk. You know, like this is our thing, just what we do. And they give it these different names. Now, I think that being able to code switch in that way helps to keep those verbs accessible. And then that helps them to be available to then bring into light Walpri when you want to as well. So now we're looking at the reanalyzed verb in light Walpri. So the blue in italics, again, is the verb stem, but you can see that it's been integrated. So there we've got ing, a progressive suffix, right, originally from English. It's been integrated into the light Walpri system. And I've shown at the bottom what the Walpri verb would be. So japurimika, im japurim. You know, clearly a completely different structure, but that's where the verb is derived from. In this example, we have what would in Walpri be warapan bimika, and it's warapan bim in light Walpri. Because in Walpri it would have to have the auxiliary, even if it didn't have the final vowel, it would need to have the auxiliary there. Another example, karinyanyika, for not recognize, just comes to am karinyanyu. And kundungarini, I didn't put that down the bottom, kundungarinika in Walpri. To shame someone. Let's try that again. So imkundungarinim in light Walpri. Now, not all verbs get reanalyzed, although I'm finding more and more examples than I knew there were a few years ago. I don't know whether there are more and more examples coming in, which is possible, or whether, you know, I just didn't get these examples before. I've been looking for various reasons to find why some verbs are reanalyzed and some aren't, and I haven't been able to pin that down so far. I wonder if it's something to do with, again, a conventionalized kind of, this is just the best way to say it, kind of a motivation. And also, light Walpri itself is still stabilizing and developing, so it could be that more of these verbs are coming in as that happens. not sure. But I think that being able to code switch from light Walpree into Walpree, you know, fluidly any time, even if you're not speaking Walpree for long amounts of time. So for these speakers, they speak light Walpree primarily, and they do speak Walpree, but it's not their primary language. So I think that by being able to switch in and out, it helps to keep this Walpree verb system, which is the key difference between the two systems, accessible. And so that that enables to be able to continue to keep code switching into Walpree when you want to, and also to be able to bring those verbs into light Walpree when you want to. When they do use the Walpree verbs in the code switching, it's completely Walpree, with all of the Walpree morphosyntax. And I think this is interesting because, partly because it keeps it accessible, but also because that light Walpree came about because of conventionalized code switching, but now code switching is playing the opposite role and helping to maintain the traditional language for these speakers of light Walpree. And so this contributes to how we can understand how speakers' different linguistic styles and different language ecologies in these complex multilingual situations can contribute to language maintenance, even in the face of something like a partial shift, which there is to light Walpree, even though it's also partially maintenance, and the speakers are able to keep the two systems going at the moment by being able to switch fluidly between them. And I finished a little early. Thank you.
We do have about 10 minutes for questions, so feel free.
Are there cases of Creole verbs which are then reanalyzed as Walpree with the full syntax, the full morphology of Walpree verbs?
In the sense that, yeah, there's you can bring any verb into Walpree, into the Walpree verb system, but that's not new. Like, that's always been a way of bringing more verbs into Walpree. So it has a two-part verb, and you can bring any element from any language into the first section, as long as you have the encodative or the causative after that. But that's always been like that in Walpree. But people do that, yeah, very commonly. So I think some parts of the system are stabilizing. So over time, I've seen variation in case marking, for example, regularize. So whereas for the ergative and dative markers in Walpree, multiple forms are used, multiple allomorphs. In light Walpree, just one form is used. So that has stabilized over the years. But yes, that's a good point. I mean, I can't say if the verb system is stabilizing at the moment.
Do you have a sense of, you know, where this is going?
The whole language?
Yeah, and all the languages, all the mix, I suppose. That's what's so exciting about it. Is that,
yeah.
People, linguists always talk about language, and there's Walpree and there's Creole and English, but what you're showing us is there's this whole complex interaction.
Yeah. I think, well, light Walpree is spoken, you know, it's learned by children. Light Walpree and Walpree are learned by children as their first languages. And light Walpree is the one that children begin speaking, and it's the primary language of its speakers. So it seems to be in good shape, so to speak, for now. People's use of Walpree is a little bit more complicated. Some of the younger speakers feel like they're not as good at Walpree as they ought to be, and Walpree has a lot of sort of baggage in the sense of, you know, you've got to speak sort of really traditional Walpree, and certain people have more right to speak than other people, and so on. But what I've found happening, for example, I would ask some of the young women, this was just last summer, oh, would you tell a story in Walpree? Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. And then I would ask them to do a different task in Walpree that was easier, and they would do that task, and then they would say, oh, I think I can tell that story now, and then they would tell a story in Walpree. So, you know, difficult to predict. I mean, to me, it looks like this sort of dual system will continue for a while.
Thank you.
But then we know that language shift can be very fast too. For some speakers, it seems like either code is accepted in sort of every domain of life. The light Walpri speakers do seem to speak more Walpri as they get older. And for some speakers, I think they would speak more Walpri in some situations, like with elders and more traditional type activity. But that wouldn't hold across the board for everybody. So, my sense is that the discourse motivations are probably more important, just sort of this conventionalized, this is how we say it.
So these are people who, the people in Lajamanu have been, I mean, you said they've been separated from Walpri, traditional Walpri land for a long time, and that's how they came to contact with the Creole speakers, like Walpri land.
Somewhat separated. They still interact with them a lot, but they're not as close geographically.
So because my question was, what's their reaction to people to Walpri outside of Lajamanu?
Oh, okay, yeah, good question. Yeah, especially these days when mobility is easier. There's a lot of mobility, and Walpri go and stay in each other's communities a lot. Like, everyone has family in all of the communities. There's a lot of visiting family, getting together for family and ceremonial events, sports events. So there's a lot of interaction. And that helps to keep the Walpri and Lajamanu going, I think, because in the other communities, there's no light Walpri. They're all speakers of strong Walpri, as they call it. So I think that really helps the Walpri and Lajamanu to continue. Yeah.
You were talking about how the shift is also part of language maintenance, which I think that's a beautiful tension between those two things. And so I'm kind of wondering if there's any like formalized maintenance efforts and how you would even begin to go about that if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went to the community in 1998 to work in the bilingual education program, English Walpri, and did that for several years. And the program exists nominally still, but there's a lot of government pushback against having Walpri in the schools, even though the community want that. So over the years, sometimes the program's been really good, sometimes the program's been less good. That's a really controversial point. So I think the community see the Walpri program in the school as one of the major maintenance efforts. And that's not in the sense of leaving it to the school, but when the program is running well, all of the community are involved. There's lots of traditional stuff going on, taking the kids out to their country, and the elders are very involved and so on. So they really see that as a good infrastructure for really working on the language maintenance. Apart from that, it's more difficult to sustain, but they do have quite a lot of things. They still have traditional ceremony, for example, and one man has worked with some with a dance team who live in Darwin to create a ceremony that happens every 2 years where they make traditional ceremony contemporary for the children. So the whole community is involved. They have traditional singing, dancing, storytelling and so on, and they have contemporary dance and storytelling at the same time. And so there's been a lot of work through that to help make traditional knowledge contemporary for the teenagers and people in their 20s and so on, and the kids in the school as well, actually. So they are working on multiple levels to try to keep that going.
A little bit of English into Walpri, is it a, I don't
when people are speaking strong Walbury.
Yeah, like as in, will the light Walbury get lighter?
Oh, ah, yeah. Yeah, good question. Well, one thing that I've seen actually is that when I first started documenting light Walbury, for example, ergative case marking occurred in about 60% of the times when it could occur on overt subjects of transitive verbs. And now it occurs on 80% of them. So it's actually increased over time. So in that sense, that's become more Walbury-like. And I'm seeing more of these verbs. As I said, I don't know whether I just didn't see these verbs before or whether there really are more verbs. So I haven't seen that it seems to be getting lighter, you know, more English or Creole-like so far, but it's certainly a possibility. Couldn't answer how intentional or strategic it is on the part of the speakers. I mean, when I asked them about it, you know, they said this is just how we talk. You know. I think like Walfrey's formation wasn't intentional. Like I think those children just internalized these two systems, Walfrey and the mixed system. But I think then it became symbolic for them of young people in this community. Like it's very clear now that like this is our way of speaking and no one else speaks like this. And part of our way of speaking is that, you know, we can use all of these resources sort of as we want to. More than that, I don't think I could say. Yeah.
I just have a very quick question. So you were saying people have this kind of positive, or it definitely doesn't seem to be a negative view of the way that they use language and that they're code switching. It's just our style or what we do. But what about other communities of Walbury speakers? What are their perceptions of this kind of language?
For speakers in the other community and for a lot of the older speakers in La Jemono, they would prefer everyone was speaking strong Walbury, classic Walbury. But in La Jemono, they just accept, I think, that this is the way people are speaking, and they hope that they're also learning Walbury, and you know they are. In the other communities, I think it's a little more stigmatized, and they, you know, hope that in those communities, strong Walbury will stay in the strong Walbury form. Don't know. I think the attitudes to light Walbury are quite complex because it's completely accepted, but it's not the older speaker's preference.
You mentioned how light Walbury formed from code switching with Walbury and English. I'm wondering about code switching with English now. Is there a lot between light Walbury and English now?
Not so much. No, like among each other, these speakers would speak in these ways that I've just shown you. But of course, to English speakers who don't speak like that, they speak varieties of English. The older speakers still code switch between Walbury and English or Creole, you know, whenever they want to. I don't know that between each other there would be long stretches of just English or long stretches of just Creole. I think for these speakers it's either light Walbury or light Walbury and Walbury. But they're learning English. The English is good. They speak English as much as they need to, but not among themselves so much.
Do you have any idea what would be the motivation for why there's less code switching with English now? Or what motivated it in the past and why it's not motivated now?
Well, I think the motivation in the past was in within the baby talk register. So in all of the communities, not documented by me, but documented by Edith Bavin and Mary Loughran, English was coming into that baby talk system, so the use of English words. And I've asked some people about that, and they've said, oh, it's easier, English is easier, and they can learn the Walpi words as they get older. And indeed, if you take like the Creole verb system with no inflections and compare it to five conjugations of the Walpi system, and Walpi has subject and object information, I guess on the surface it looks easier, right? Because they're not talking about our kind of English with, you know, all its tense inflections. So that's and also like the speakers, the older speakers, they spent a lot of time working with Indigenous people who spoke all different languages where Creole was lingua franca, men and women. So they, you know, they had a lot of experience of that. But I think the baby talk register was the most motivation, because it seems to have been very consistently in that pattern where just the verb and pronoun got changed or got inserted really into Walpi.
Any
more questions? All right. Well, thank you, Carmel.
Thank you.